Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Hey, listeners. Are you headed to Glendale, Arizona to watch our Huskies fight for back-to-back national championships? If you are, that's a ticket you're going to want to keep and cherish forever. And Momentix is giving you the opportunity to do just that. Momentix is your go-to app for seamless event coordination and memory capture. Start building your collection by uploading your tickets and personalizing each one with tagged friends, photos, and videos from the events. Bring back the nostalgia of ticket collection by downloading Momentix from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store today. Welcome back to the Exit 68 podcast. This is Matt. We have the full crew on today. Justin's going to be joining us in just a little while. Matthew is also here. And guess what? You know, we might be the luckiest podcast in the world because we're here to discuss yet another UConn ass kicking, yet another UConn trip to the Final Four as they have just run through this tournament, giving Illinois a 30-piece run at one point to roll them out of the building up in Boston, and another 20-point win for this UConn Husky team that just continues to roll. All this despite shooting about 28% from three. Prior game at Illinois, we're going to dive pretty deep into before we get on to the upcoming opponent against Alabama. Another just impressive win. Did it a different way. Couldn't be happier for the boys. Matthew, my co-host this year, could not be, you know, just more juiced up to talk about this team, talk about this win. But before we get any of that, you know, Matt, we do have to address one thing that was pretty clear over the last episode. You know, we do like to drink here. Obviously, we like to have fun, but sometimes, you know, I could go over the top a little bit. And I just want to give a shout out to Colonel Calhoun on Twitter
for calling it straight.
Mr. Six Pacificos Deep was probably about seven or eight Pacificos Deep last podcast. Did not make for the best contact. It was funny when I was editing it. The more I listened to it, the more I kind of got sad for the hardcore fans who are here to listen to a podcast. So, Matt, just want to give you the floor here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, your boy's going through a cut right now leading up to summer. So he's in a little bit of a calorie deficit. And he's also, when he is consuming alcohol, is choosing to go with some low-calorie mixed drinks. And I'm not a big liquor drinker, so I think Friday – which is a sin, you know, being Good Friday, went to brunch with our good friends, Merritt and Aston, and it torpedoed a little bit to the point where I wanted to get back for the pod. So it happens to the best of us. I don't know. And as you guys can attest for knowing me throughout undergrad and in the last 10 years, you know, I'm just not a really great drinker in general. So, you know, happens. I don't know what to say. I'm not apologizing to anyone either. I had a great time. Not a dime back. I don't know what you want me to say. But again, there's a little bit of rhyme or reason there for sure. Again.
Okay. Well, just happy that we're able to address it here. We're going to do a little just, you know, it's not going to happen again. We don't have to apologize. But
fully might happen again.
Yeah.
You want me to say I fucked up? I fucked up. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's one pod. I'm sure Doug was not thrilled, but Doug, you know, Doug should just be lucky that he got some face time on the Exit 68. So
okay, well now we got the important news item out of the way. Justin, thank you for joining us today. Just talking, you know, at the intro here, we might be the luckiest podcast in the world here. Just going back to another Final Four, UConn's the number one seed. Just another dominating win. Let's talk about the Illinois game for a while because, you know,
can we address what's happening in real time? And that's the boys need to get to Scottsdale.
The greatest quote also just dropped an hour ago from Benedict. In quotes, all the schools in Power Five made it here no problem. This is supposed to be a championship experience. None of this has been a championship experience. Start building the narrative.
The
Unreal.
UConn basketball team is currently stranded. They're going to have to leave some members of their traveling party in Connecticut because they've been downgraded to a smaller plane. The original plane that was slated to take them could not get them.
No, 1140.
The plane as of right now, the plane is officially at 9,100 feet, going 335 miles per hour with a landing time of 11:38 Eastern. They've officially gotten off the ground in, yes, Cincinnati Airport in Kentucky, which I learned recently. Back to Bradley, back out to Phoenix.
They're trying to fuck over our boys, and we're not going to stand for it.
I don't know why D'Amelio isn't sending them down to that private platform, you know, just south of Hartford, and putting them on the PJ. It'd be, you know,
I mean, how awful is it to fly to Cincinnati, fly back, and then fly to Phoenix? Like, that's pretty terrible.
Well, I think the problems with the pilots were over their FAA hours, and so they didn't have pilots in Bradley. So I think they're literally
they're in Cincinnati though.
The team's the not boys, in Cincinnati.
The team's not. No, the plane is in Cincy that they're getting on, but they're still in Bradley.
The team is in Bradley. The team waiting is for not the there. Plane.
They have a rescue plane coming from Cincy going to Bradley to pick them up. Why would they go back to Bradley? They would just go straight to, to Phoenix. Okay. It's been a long day for Josh.
It's been a long day.
This is a sports podcast, not a travel podcast. Don't fucking come at us, okay? It's our first time dealing with plane controversies. We're good at breaking down
zone versus man defenses
and how to properly hedge a screen. But, you know, you try to ask us track some flights, shit's going to get a little crazy. So sorry about it.
Julie Botts is becoming an airline pilot.
Okay. Well, let's get back to basketball here. UConn stranded. Looks like they're going to finally get to Arizona. Thank fucking God. The rest of the teams are there. The NCAA is trying to fuck us. It's that weird dude with the glass high who got on TV and tried to explain, you know, why St. John's and Seton Hall didn't make the tournament. I'm going to blame him. He was at the game at TD Garden this last weekend.
He's been at every game.
I don't like this guy, and he's trying to fuck us, so fuck him. But back to basketball. That UConn has an Illinois team with the number two offense in the country, comes in, plays a pretty tight first half. Donovan was really kind of getting crazy. The rest of the team struggling to pick up steam. Steph Castle has Terrence Shannon just in an absolute body bag for the first half. Feeling okay, but it's a tight game. And then the run happened, guys. And Brad Underwood, you know, he is a D1 coach. I don't know why I didn't call him out. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. They just got fucking rolling. I think I saw something. It was about 50 minutes of real time where, you know, Illinois did not score a point. This is the number two offense in the country we're talking about. It was an absolute utter domination. It was beautiful to watch. They did it 100 different ways. And, you know, you ended up with a 20-point UConn win at the Garden. 90% UConn fans. The place was going crazy. Illinois is flying back to the little flat state. And we're going to another Final Four.
Yeah, well, we're not flying yet.
Break it down for us.
Tell me, do you think Bama's kind of shaking in the boots right now that UConn has this extra this extra layer of motivation that the NCAA is screwing them over? Bama must be. They must be so pissed right now.
So back to the plane. It's just incredible that they didn't see this coming.
You kind of had to actually think that you would have. That the NCAA would do something like this. Like, it's actually.
I think Hurley purposefully asked for pilots he knew was going to expire.
At what point are we going to get our own team plane? How many championships do we have to win?
That's what I'm saying. Well, somebody, I can't believe they didn't have, what's the budget airline down in New Haven?
Avelo.
Avelo. Why didn't they just charter a plane for the boys? I don't really get it.
Another great tweet that just came out. The last time UConn had travel woes was when they were in Vegas and had to switch hotels because there was vomit and dirt all over the floor and before the Arkansas game. And they got their stuff stolen. Yeah, and they got their stuff stolen.
So that was fun.
Okay, if you had to pick how do I phrase this? You have to leave one assistant coach behind. Who are you leaving behind? Not Tom Moore. It's got to be Kamani or Luke Murray.
Oh, Kamani. Luke Murray. Kamani. Luke Murray has to be on that plane.
I don't know, dude.
Okay, man.
I don't know either.
We gotta land the plane here, okay, on this thought.
Paul Wedeman.
Paul's not getting on that
plane. Paul's in the van right now.
Paul's a great guy.
Tell me how Benedict is – there at a bar right now with Goodman and the Exit 68 guys,
Fanta,
doing a interview, but the team is not yet in Arizona.
I'm not a fucking travel expert, Matt. Okay. I have no idea. I don't know how this works. None of us know. You're asking rhetorical questions. I get
right,
it.
So anyways, it's an issue. You know, back to the 30-0 run. That kind of happened out of nowhere. Some would say that it was almost as unexpected as not having a plane to fly to fucking Arizona.
Why would you need a plane to fly to Arizona?
I would say it was unexpected. I mean, what do you want to say about the 30-0 run? It was one of the most ridiculous things that anybody has ever witnessed in March Madness history. Everybody after that was like, all right, this has kind of gotten out of hand with UConn. I don't think it's as much about Illinois. I think we all know what we did in that game. It's more about, is Bama the team that can actually beat us? Because that's the narrative right now, right?
Yeah.
I think we don't talk about Illinois. I think we talk about Bama because what's done is done, and that's the way UConn men's basketball is thinking about it, and that's the way we have to think about it. Is Bama the team that can get Hoffman 3 and beat us? Or is that an overblown narrative?
Yes and no. There's one sense of this argument where this team has no chance because their defense is just not up to par. They don't have a true center. They have undersized guards that we should really eat. And I think, you know, defensively, they're going to have some serious challenges. The flip side of that argument, though, is if a team with that build was to beat a team like UConn, they'd have to get crazy hot from three and take 100, like a shit ton of them. And that's exactly what Bama does. Besides Estrada, no one on this team takes a shot besides a three or a shot at the rim. So, yes, in theory, you know, this is a team that could be a lot worse than UConn on paper, be undersized, be all those different things. But if they shoot 50% from three and they take 60 threes, you know, they're going to be really hard to beat. And obviously those are extremely lofty numbers that I'm just kind of throwing out. But, you know, this team does scare you a little bit because, you know, that's what they do. That's all they've been doing. We know they're going to do that. I just really find solace in the fact that our defense, we're no joke on defense. And I think we're going to be able to score on this team. Also, we're not going to run up and we're going to dribble the air out of the basketball against them. They want to run up and down all game. I think we're going to do a lot of things in our power to, you know, slow any hot run they get on. But, you know, what do you boys think after, you know, I've been watching a lot of Bama film. What are you guys looking at right now?
I think they have three guys who hit over two threes a game, which is a lot, to be very clear. One thing that was different about Illinois is, yes, they had the guy, but I also don't think that – I think that their skill set and what they did best offensively almost fed into our defense because those guys had to get to the rim. They like to score. They like to get up and down and attack the rim. Like Terrence Chin wants to get into space and attack the rim. And you have Donovan there, and you have Castle moving downhill with him. The trouble with this team is who's the most elite – I guess who's the most elite three-point shooter we played in the Big East this year? Shireman?
No, the other kid on Creighton, Ashworth.
I worry about our guards are basically going to be – I think you're going to see a lot of DR and Castle at the same time almost because our guards are going to have to defend on the perimeter extremely well, both off the dribble and off the catch. And that – although Donovan's the anchor and he protects the rim, it's going to look a little bit different with guys kind of being on an island, you know, protecting the three-point arc. And I think we got to make sure to play our game. I think we got to make sure to kind of slow it down on the offensive end and run our sets. And I liked a couple of the things that we did to start the game early in Illinois, although we weren't really able to space out until that second half. We were very intentional about getting the ball to the weak side and throwing it into Donovan immediately. And taking advantage of his size. He missed that layup early on, but I think you saw that kind of set they ran to get him the ball quickly. I would be shocked if we didn't do something similar to Omen's point about them not really having true bigs. But they can score in a hurry. I mean, so can Illinois, but this team can pump in, you know, three threes on three straight possessions and no one would blink an eye and they expect them all to go down. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think that this team again, is up there caliber wise to Illinois. They probably have an ability to put together a little bit more of a run, I think, than an Illinois team. But also, you know, they're now the worst defensive team we've played since I think it was DePaul. or Georgetown. So they're even worse defensively than Illinois. So we need to continue to pound the rock inside, do what we do offensively, and get key stops. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I think if you're Alabama, the way you win this game is basically by making sure the UConn team doesn't get on the plane. Sorry.
Anyways.
In all seriousness, I disagree with you in terms of slowing the ball down. I don't think this UConn team right now plays to their opposition. I think they play their game and you have to match them. And so I don't think you're going to see us. Like, I'm not saying we're not going to.
Well, you're wrong. But tell
take
me
our
why.
Time. Because we can win games in various ways. And one of them is also running with teams.
Yeah, well, we have the 315th tempo in the nation. They have the number 9th. You know, we're going to play a lot slower.
But what you're insinuating is that, you know, deep in the first half, we're going to go through our sets. We're not going to do anything differently.
Yeah,
we're not going to go, don't take that first open look because we need to wind down the shot clock. That's what you were insinuating.
I guess what I was trying to insinuate is that we're not going to get in this frenzied game of kind of getting over our skis. They're start jacking and running and we're trying to get into that game. You know, we're just going to play our game, which is slow. And that's going to inherently slow them down.
What about the 30-0 run? Like I could see us doing that to Bama too. Like, and that was all.
That was just that 30-0 run was kind of wild though, because I actually didn't really realize, this is going to sound really, really stupid. I didn't really realize that we scored 30 points without them scoring.
Me neither, honestly.
Nobody did.
25 in.
Like, it's not like we whapped in 3 threes in a row. They took a timeout. We hit another 2-3. Like, it was.
That's how we do it, though. I mean, look at the Marquette game. Remember the Marquette game was the same way, you know, in XL.
Dude, they didn't score for 9 minutes.
In almost an hour of real time.
Me and Doug were looking at each other, and it was like 13 minutes in. I was like, I don't think they've scored yet in the second half.
So. Yeah. Here's the other thing that I think we're not taking into account. The other thing is just, I would challenge the point that I don't think it's as much of a one-on-one matchup defensively with Bama as it is going to be a team game running them off the 3-point line. So I think I have confidence in Hurley that he's going to make sure that we're playing a 5-man defensive set against them and make sure they're not getting off their threes. And then I think the other thing we have not accounted for is that UConn is due for such a huge 3-point shooting night. I could just see a game where UConn is able to run them off the 3-point line and then also score threes on the other end and again run away with a victory.
I completely agree with you there. There's a lot of yokels on Twitter from Alabama, you know, talking about how UConn can't shoot from three. And guess what, boys? This just might be the game that they realize how well we can, because of, you know, like I said, I think average margin of victory has been north of 22 points during the tournament. We're shooting only 28% from three. Really hoping a guy like Caravan can find a stroke again and bury a couple for us. I think one thing that I just wanted to bring up, you know, looking at the just stylistically and roster wise, Alabama really does lack some girth, not only at the guard position. Sears is only about 6'1", 185, I believe. Yeah. Estrada is 6'3", 190. Their starting center is about 250, I believe, 230. He's 6'11", 230. He's the heaviest guy on the team. You know, obviously, Donovan put the dude from Illinois in an absolute blender. I believe it was Coleman. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name right now. In the post, I think he's just going to dominate again. And boys, I mean, he was just unbelievable last game. That's got to be the best game we've ever seen him play, correct?
I think it was his best game in a UConn uniform.
It was pretty incredible.
Everybody's talking about Edie's performance, but I think Donnie's, you know, on the defensive end, I think made up 40 points.
They were like, what were they, 0 for 14 at the rim with him in the game? They scored 0 for 19 at the rim with him in the game. They scored 14 total points when he was on the floor.
It's pretty incredible.
In 24 minutes. But, Baycott ate against Alabama. He had 19, 12, 7 O-boards, only one block. But, you know, we have the ability, Donnie has the ability to have a similar effect. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see how he does defending kind of the three-point line. Lengthwise, he obviously has an ability to recover and get back to the rim and block shots. He showed that multiple times in the last game that he can get from that three-point line to the block in two or three strides and pin something off the glass. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he does when those guys, I guess, make the choice not to turn the corner and really pull up and see if he can get out there and defend, you know, a couple feet beyond the arc if he has to. So I don't know. I think we're well equipped with both him and Sampson to be able to defend defend the three, but I don't know.
And Sampson's another guy right now who's, I think, playing his best basketball of the year.
He is playing really well. He's rebounding the shit out of the ball.
Yep.
He's flying, he's pogo stick all over the court. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, really, the team that went the most unconscious from three this year against us was Creighton, and they had an all-time shooting night. And it felt like our defense was just a step behind the entire time that game, if you remember. Like, I felt like
we were
constantly a step behind. So
it was just a mid Big East conference schedule kind of slog of a game.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think, again, like, you're probably reading too much into it to say, okay, you're going into a football stadium. You got to make the adjustment to shooting in a football stadium. Like, I don't know what UConn shot from three statistically last year when they got to Houston, or what Final Four teams shot from three, but I'd imagine it's generally a lower percentage than what they average throughout the season, right? So
that's typically
it almost caters to us having the ability to go inside when you need to. And Donnie was great last game in terms of managing his foul trouble and managing some of the things he did.
I thought that was the most impressive thing he did last game was his body control.
And the refs let them play, just to be clear.
I think that's fair. But, I mean, they just went – it was just clear as day that their game plan was to go at Donnie and get him into foul trouble. And his ability to – you know, his ball-tracking ability was just off the charts. Like, it was really impressive. And then, to your point, Justin, about him closing out on the three-point line, I don't know if you saw the Draft Express post, but they were like all over him closing out. And now, you know, they think he's Gibnoy thinks he's an above average closeout guy on the perimeter for a man of his stature. So I agree. I think Donnie's got to bring it again. He's brought it. I thought he was sleepwalking through the Big East tournament. In this tournament, he has absolutely brought the smoke.
Oh, yeah. And some of his finishes have just been really nice to see. I mean, he was making some tough shots. He got on a great run, it felt like, last game, where he didn't miss anything in the post. For a great stretch there. It's a far cry from the beginning of the season when, you know, some people are calling for his head because he couldn't throw a post move and hit a jump hook. I don't know, Justin. I think I said it last game. I'm kind of feeling the same way here. I'm just so confident with this team. It's really hard for me to get scared. I think the only team, you know, I might regret this, the only team in the country right now that really scares me is Purdue. And I'm praying we get to see that matchup, because Edie, the way he dominates, Klingon, the way he played last game, I mean, it would just be an absolute battle of the Titans. I think we're a better team around them. You know, Payne's a good coach. Hurley's obviously an unbelievable coach. Don't want to look too far ahead, but I think everyone in America who loves the sport of basketball is really hoping that that's what we see in the Natty.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I don't know. I think Nate Oates is an exceptional coach. I think it's really cool that you have two coaches who are coaching high school ball less than 15 years ago, you know, coaching in a football stadium now and then a Final Four. He's going to motivate his guys. He knows what it takes. You know, Alabama is been, again, like, I'm looking through some of their box scores right now, and they lost to Creighton by five at home, but really all their offensive outputs, like the lowest amount of points they scored this season was, it looks like, 71 on the road at Tennessee. So, like, 71 on the road against Tennessee. Like, they score the absolute shit out of the ball. So Yep. How do we slow him down? How do we make him feel uncomfortable? Is Hurley going to want to go back to his roots where he's playing kind of like more of a rock fight type game? We try to make him, you know, score in the 50s or low 60s against us and make him feel like they're uncomfortable. I don't know. I feel confident too. But it's the final four. It doesn't, everything's out the window. Like everything's out the window now. It's a new ball game. Once you get down to those final four teams. Like, I don't know what's – it would be insane to see NC State win, but, shoot, like, they're playing better basketball than anyone in the nation, maybe besides us right now. Burns, it's a crapshoot. It's the final four.
Yep. Do we think the boys go to media day tomorrow if they get in late tonight?
Oh, yeah.
No, I think they're they getting in late? There was a plane issue.
What time is media day, Matt?
I don't know, but I'm just seeing people saying they should boycott the media day and not give the NCAA any time because they're getting in late tonight. So
no, I think they should show up and rip the. I mean, they're not.
I also see a UConn alum from 09 very seriously claiming that he was the one who fixed the issue for them, not the NCAA. On Twitter right now.
I love it.
Anyways, good pod, boys. Good pod.
A lot of nonsense.
Just want to say one more thing. Just got an email. This random website did a list of the best Connecticut sports podcasts. We made number 9. So... we're doing something right, Matt. You know, drink as much as you want before every episode because we're doing something right. Thank you to everyone who listens to this at the end of the day.
Who from 09 said that they're fixing this?
It was...
this pod is off the rails.
Yeah, you're Matthew fucking telling Chidoba. Me.
Matthew who? Chidoba. Matthew Chidoba. I don't freaking know, dude. Holy crap, we are on this. Wow, FeedSpot gave us a shout out.
What is the back and forth about Jonathan not being able to go to the game?
They only let one mascot go, and I think right now we have two.
Yeah, so which one's going?
I think the older one's going. I think the younger one also has a biting problem, I saw on Twitter.
No, I think it's between the actual mascot and then the dog.
No, that's not.
You're talking about like the big dude. You're talking about like Jonathan with the jersey. You're talking about Jonathan with the jersey on versus Jonathan, the one who gets kibble.
I'm talking about the kid who got a full scholarship to be a mascot, who probably went to friggin', you know, Trumbull High.
So what do you guys think Purdue's just gonna romp at NC State? In all honesty,
yeah.
I'm more afraid of Bama than I am at Purdue. I think they actually match up well against Purdue.
That I think that's insane. Please, why?
Neutralize, because then it comes down to guard play. You neutralize Edie and Klingon. Unless one of them gets in foul trouble, and that really sways it. But if they neutralize each other,
Matt, Donovan does not play 40 minutes a game.
Yeah, Edie played 35 minutes last game, or 38.
He took off 40. He took off 38 seconds last game.
No, that's a fair point, but also – I mean, you don't think we can just throw a caravan double at him?
Yeah, but back to Matt's point.
And rotate?
Back to Matt's point. We have the ability to play multiple styles. So do we all of a sudden become the up-tempo guys against Purdue? I don't know.
We could be.
It's not like Edie gets up and down the floor well.
Our team defense right now is just insane. Like, you can't even compare it to anything you've seen within NCAA basketball. It's crazy.
I don't know. The Northwestern game was still the most like ridiculous defense on a string I feel like I've ever seen.
And watching Klingon look like Wembanyama with people just not even thinking about shooting once they get into the paint.
Dude, the Northwestern game, and we talked about this briefly, I felt like they actually like couldn't dribble because no matter what they did, people were just swarming. I mean, Donnie's been incredible. Like, obviously, Donnie's been incredible. There's something to be said that like Castle maybe we played elite individual guards, like Boo Booey, elite guard, Shannon, arguably the second best player in college basketball, maybe third, depending on who you're asking. Like
Dude, he held those guys to what? Might as well be Clamps Castle because it's a joke. He just erases people.
I would love to be in Phoenix more than anything on earth. Dude, just can't make it happen this year.
So expensive.
It's actually ridiculously expensive.
You could have flown to Vegas, though. You could have flown to Vegas and then flown down on a Frontier flight for $96.
I'm saying just that and the tickets. The tickets are pretty crazy.
It's actually crazy. As much as I love the skis, I would just never put myself in a position to be on a Frontier flight.
Yeah, Frontier is just as bad as Spirit, I think. Maybe worse.
Yeah, they're both just ultra low budget airlines.
My newest theory is the NCAA has delayed the airline so that UConn can't win, so that we don't surpass Duke, because that doesn't really fit their agenda unless Duke has more national championships than UConn.
If you looked, the Bama fans are already theorizing that Hurley's behind all of it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that everyone thinks he's so insane that he just creates like these suboptimal situations just to motivate his team.
I love the play, but we didn't talk about this on the pod. I love the play he's getting right now in the media. It's so rightly deserved. Like, you know, everybody's doing features on him. Russillo had PJ Carlismo on today.
And that was great.
That was great. Like, I just like how he's getting some, you know, Coward.
Part of my take, Pat McAfee.
Dude, McAfee's all over it.
I will say you have to have a lot of confidence as a coach to do those things and not worry that your team feels like you're taking the spotlight from them. And
I think they want
to.
That
exactly. And I think that one thing that Dowster did say about it was in regards to Castle was that, like, when a guy like Castle has no agenda to get his, it makes everyone else think to themselves, like, okay, even if I had a minor agenda, like, if this guy doesn't have one, what platform do I have to stand on that I need to get mine? So I don't know. I just thought that was a really great point. But I also think it just speaks to the team that, like, Hurley is obviously there as a guide and as a father figure to some and as a friend, but, like, they want to see him succeed just as much as they want to see their teammates succeed, like, almost as, like, as if he's out on the floor playing with them. Like, it is a really, really cool thing. I don't know.
Dynamic.
It feels like he's so in tune with his team's emotions and feelings and how they'll react to stuff that if he had any bit of worry or concern that what he was doing was too much, that he would pull the plug in a second. I mean, he's the biggest head case of all time. Right. Yeah. Like,
he says it. I mean, and I think you can start, like, it's really materializing, or I shouldn't say rising to the surface this year, but he gives them so much, more so than any other coach. Like, I don't think Coach K or Bill Self are giving their kids the same sort of attention and effort that Hurley gives them. So it just opens up other opportunities to do stuff, right? He said, like, you know, what did Hurley say? He's like, I don't golf. It's like, I just spend time with the kids. Yeah,
it's not complicated. Yeah. It's time and love. Like, that's an effort. Like, it's not rocket science. The dude is there all the time. He's with them all the time. And you can't push people that hard unless they know that, you know, you have their back, and they do. They'll do anything for that guy, because not only is he a great coach, but he's a great person. And, you know, he's been in there at the trenches with them for the past, like, 8 months or so. And it's just great to see, you know, good guys do well, I think, in sports. And that's what's so beautiful about this
game. I can't. I'm so pumped to see what he says about the plane.
It is. I will also say that he has this very, like, he has, like, a special way of hyping guys up that it's not like, holy shit, I have the, like, I'll never forget Gino with, like, Diana Taurasi, and his famous quote was just, like, we have Diana and you don't. Like, that is the most blatant, direct, like, we're just going to come and shove it down your throat. Like, she's so much better than you, it doesn't matter. And he's not that direct, but Omen, you're right. Like, the way that he builds his players hype throughout the season and talks about them being lottery picks and talks about them, like, he's talking about Newton maybe being, like, having the, at a place where it's hard to have history, right? Like, and build history and build legacy. Like, being maybe one of the greatest 2-year stretches or players in UConn history. Like he hypes things up in a way where it's like, he almost wills them into existence sometimes. Like Donovan is the most impactful player in college basketball. There's the analytics behind it. Like
after,
but it's
after
not smoke and mirrors either.
No, after the Manhattan game when he called out Haas and he goes, yeah, he's got to figure it out. He might be the most important piece of this team this year.
Yeah.
That was against Manhattan in the beginning of the year.
Yeah. 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 It's just a very – he does it very delicately.
And you know, like, he never says anything about Caravan.
Yeah. Except now he did have the quote this year where he said that Caravan was like Linus's blankie in the Peanuts. Linus, the kid who carries his blankie around in Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, Caravan's my blankie.
I love the one he's like, we weren't very good at offense until that kid showed up.
Yeah, they're all just like him. It's such a culture effect. I can't wait.
This is Matt, the host of the Exit 68 podcast. We hope you enjoy our show today. It definitely got off the rails at times, but March Madness makes everyone a little crazy. Go Huskies, and thank you for supporting our podcast.